Good morning, everybody. How we doing out there? Happy Sunday. A little sleepy. I feel it. How we doing? Good morning. All right. Even worse than the first time, but we go on. Hey, good morning. We're glad you're here. Welcome. If this is your first time here, welcome. If this is your 397th time here, welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're watching online, hello. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. If you are a guest or if you're new or if you just simply don't feel connected, we have a connect room right after service right over here. There's a room. You got to go in there. There's some good. They're not just like normal donuts that are stale. There's good donuts, good conversation. You'll be able to meet some of the pastors and the staff. So if you're new, if you want to get connected, whatever, meet us after service in the Connect Room. But also, if you have not been to Discover Class, I'm telling you, you got to go. I don't care if you've been here for 92 years. Like, there's some people who have been here for that long. The church hasn't been here that long, but you have. Look, if you haven't been to Discover Class, you got to go. It is a class where you're going to learn the heart about His tabernacle. If you're like, why do we do the stuff that we do? Come to Discover Class. We'll tell you all about it. It is at 9:30. Check in. Yes, 9:30 every single Sunday in the Connect Room. If you haven't been, you gotta go. We also have groups. Who here is in a group? Let me see. Raise your hand. Who's in a group? All right. If someone's not raising their hand, go invite them to a group. Say, look, you guys, you gotta get connected. We have groups that meet in houses. We have a food group. We have groups that read books together. We have groups that go and do stuff together. We just believe life is better together in a community. So if you're not in a group, there's a desk right out in the foyer. Sign up, join a group. It's going to be phenomenal. Lastly, if you are 18 to 30, if you are a young adult in the building, we have young adults tonight that me and my wife, Pastor Noel, we put on every once a month, and tonight is going to be phenomenal. If you're a young adult, you got to come. I'm telling you, you've missed out the past couple weeks. You got to come to Young Adults. It's tonight at 6. We'll see you there. And if you will, welcome with me our senior pastor, Pastor Michael Spencer.
Good morning, everybody. This is Biker Sunday. I don't know about you. I'm excited about it. It's a great day. Pastor Rhonda is in Georgia today, preaching the gospel down in Georgia. She said it's much warmer. She was walking the ocean beach yesterday. I don't know if that was nice or not. So we're going to have a great time today. I do want to give you a testimony. Do you mind me giving you some testimonies? Amen. Last week, as you know, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth was up in Rochester, so we spent pretty much all of last week up with him. And, you know, this whole thing, that battle my wife and I have been through and the challenges we've been through with sickness and disease. And so we were up in Rochester, and on Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the prior, I just said to the Lord, I said, God, we just need this done. You know, it's been long enough. No more battling. We want it all completed. And so I just prayed out loud. Brother Ted was up preaching and moving in the word of knowledge, moving in the power of God. And I said, Lord, I just want him to speak this one thing. There was a specific thing that I wanted him to address that nobody knows about, that only God would know. And so he did nothing. There was no word of knowledge. There was nothing. So I went back to the green room after. For those who don't know what that is, that's where the speaker usually waits to come out or goes out afterwards. So I went to the green room, and I said, my wife had been feeling more ill during the service, and the longer the service went, the more ill she felt. So I went back, and I said, Brother Ted, we're going to head back to the hotel, and Rhonda's not feeling well, but I'd like you to pray for her before you go. And he said, man, I have to pray for her. I had a word of knowledge, but it's private, so I didn't want to make it public. So he brought her in, and he said, for those who don't know, when you take chemotherapy, many times it gives you what's called neuropathy, which is a deadening of your tissue. And so she has a place where there's deadening of the tissue, and there's pain there because of the nerves. And so he went and he said, it's on her bum. And he went, he wouldn't say that. He went like this. He went, it's right there. He wouldn't even say the word bum. He said, it's right there, and it feels like shards of glass. And he said, you know what that is? He said, while I was preaching, I literally saw a spirit of infirmity stand up. I said, what does a spirit of infirmity look like? You know, we see this in the scripture. And he said, it goes like that, a head, then it comes out, and this is like material, and the face is grayish and smeared. And he said, Oral Roberts used to see it the exact same way. And he said, while he was preaching, he literally saw that spirit stand up. And that's why she kept getting feeling more ill during the church service. So he walked over in the office and commanded that spirit to come off her in Jesus' name. And literally, everything stopped. It was so powerful. Zooming to this Tuesday, I did Rock Solid Faith. I know you, many of you missed that. You don't want to miss next week. I had to say that. So Pastor Rhonda went up to Rochester for another one of the meetings with Pastor Andrea. And at 6 o'clock, I got a phone call from my wife, and she's crying. And she says, I am in the most pain I have ever been in my life. And it's in a different part of my body that I've never had it before. And it was in her shoulder, under here. And when she breathed, she said it felt like somebody stabbing her in the chest. So she couldn't take deep breaths without being in absolute agony. And so I texted Brother Ted and Sister Bonnie. They were in the same hotel. And Sister Bonnie came down and started praying with her. And Brother Ted actually sent his Bible, for those who understand the residual anointing. They laid it on her shoulder, and she went to church. And you can actually see this on the replay. I actually have it. During the sermon, she said she was sitting down on the front row and the pain was just intense. And for those who have experienced that, many times you want to go to sleep because it stops. It's a way to retract. And so she's sitting in the front row and she's in absolute pain. And Brother Ted comes off the altar, walks over to her during his sermon, lays hands on her head, and pulls her shoulder and pulls here and says, loosed. Immediately, it all left. So I'm talking to him after service, and I said, what was that? He said, that actually was another demonic spirit called a spirit of infirmity that was trying to get her to retract. Remember, I preached it not too many weeks ago. It's not just getting your healing, it's keeping your healing. And so when that spirit left, when that second demonic spirit came off her body, that spirit of infirmity, spirit of sickness, that literally no more pain. She landed down in Georgia, and since this whole ordeal, it's the first time she's ever flown since that whole ordeal, and has had no pain, no discomfort. God is completely, it's awesome. So two miracles in 1 week. It's important to recognize that we fight not against flesh and blood. That this really is a spiritual warfare. That demons are real and God is more real. Can I hear an amen? And that God's power is greater than the devil's power any day. But I believe in these last days we need to pray even more for the discerning of spirits than ever before. Because we've got to be able to recognize what is demonic and what is just physical. Now, you see, if I had prayed for that, nothing would have happened. Why? Because you can't pray out a devil. You got to cast out a devil. Amen? So it's a matter of learning and growing and maturing. So this week has been just great school for me, but also deliverance for Pastor Rhonda. Amen? So I don't know about you. I'm going to praise a little bit different because I got something more to praise about. Not that I don't praise, but man, I got something to shout about. Amen? And so today is a great day. Are you ready to worship Jesus? Are you ready to hear the word? I've got a word that's going to challenge you today. I'm going to preach on prejudice today. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a hot one. Amen, buddy. Pull your feet up. Wow, my God. Are you ready? Let's all stand. Jesus, today we're here to worship your precious name. You are a great God and greatly to be praised. Lord, we lay aside all of our lives, God, all the busyness. We lay aside, Jesus, all the distractions, and we declare this one thing. We are here to worship you. We will praise you without any restraint. We will glorify you, God, for you are a great God. You are an awesome Jesus. And today we decide, we determine in our heart that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted. I said, everybody shouted. Boy, that's still weak. I said, everybody shouted. Amen. Let's worship.
We'd love to invite you guys down to the altar. We're going to praise together. Who's ready to praise this morning? We got four people over here ready to praise. Who's ready to praise this morning? The amazing part about what Pastor just said is that at the name of Jesus, we find our healing, right? At the name of Jesus, we have our healing, right? So something happens when we call the name Jesus. Everybody just repeat after me. Say, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I found my healing. Come on, y'all. Goodness gracious. Four or five people want to praise this morning. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and sing this with me. Say, something happens when I call your name. 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 Something happens when I call your name.
Can we sing that one more time? Say it out.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Come on and clap, y'all.
I'm Come on, say, I win.
No matter what the weather is, I want you to know that I win.
Say, I win.
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 Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. Y'all better shout it out. Say, something happens. Who needs breakthrough in here? Say, we break through when we call. We break through when we. We break through when we. We break through when we. Something happens when I. Say, we break through. Did you know that when you praise, you confuse the enemy? Did you know that when you praise, you literally break shackles off? Did you know that when you praise, the Lord enters in? So something happens when I call. Yes, hallelujah. Come on, repeat after me. Say, Jesus. About that name, keep singing that. Say,
Jesus,
say Jesus,
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 say Jesus,
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 say I win,
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 say I'm free,
I'm free,
I'm free,
I'm free,
yes I.
Away my shame.
my treasure, and the only lasting thing is you. You are forever.
You are forever.
You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure. The only lasting thing is you. You are forever.
Jesus. Hallelujah. God's healing someone's gallbladder right now. You can actually feel the pain and the pressure. You're going to feel that disappear in Jesus' name. It's also somebody, I think there's more than one, that came in extremely anxious. And the Holy Spirit is now bringing peace to your nerves in Jesus' name. Physical healing as well as emotional healing in the name of Jesus. Only where you can touch. Only where you can touch, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Natalie, you have two prayer points that you've been bringing to the Lord consistently and constantly. And He wants you to know that He's heard you and that you're going to start seeing a shift. It's going to be small at first. That's where your faith has got to be strong. But the more you see it turn, all of a sudden, it's going to be like, that happened quick. So two prayer points. I don't know what they are, but you do. And the Lord says He's pleased with you and He loves you. Amen. Father, we just love you so much. Just sense in my spirit, there are people that are trying to jump through hoops to make God happy. God says you don't need to jump through hoops. My son already hung on the cross. I just want you. Surrender yourself where you are, and you'll find that I will make you happy instead of you trying to make me happy. Jesus. Lord, you are so good to us. You love us so much. Some of you are feeling disconnected. Oh, I'm not talking from church. I'm talking from God Himself. The Lord says, I haven't taken a step back. You did. Repent, therefore, return to your first works, and you'll find that I am still there and that I'm waiting for you. I'm chasing you, even with this word. Respond to me, and I will respond to you, says God. Thank you, Jesus. Just one more proof, God, and I'll confess you as Lord. I heard that in my spirit. I'll say it one more time. You said it. I don't know how many times you said it. Just one more proof, God, and I'll believe it. I believe you're real, and I'll turn to you. God says, I've given you enough proofs. Surrender your will. Follow me. And today, I'll make myself more real than you could ever have comprehended. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. And God, we are desperately needing you. We can't even thank you enough. Holy Spirit, but I'm going to ask something from you. I'm going to ask that you bring us all to a greater understanding, a revelation of the love of God. We need more. We need to understand more. And Holy Ghost, you're the only one that reveals the deep things of heaven. Nobody else can. Man can only discern man. But you, Holy Spirit, because you are God, can reveal God to us in a greater way. I ask that you'll do that to this congregation who are here this morning. Lord, I know that at times that sounds like a specificity, and it is. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, and there are many that did not make it to the upper room. Not because they didn't see you, Jesus, face to face, but because they chose not to wait 10 days. I pray, God, that those who are willing to wait on you, those who are willing to be faithful to you, those who are willing to lay the world down and run with you will have that supernatural experience that they've been hungering and thirsting after, even though they don't truly comprehend what that is. God, draw us, we ask in Jesus' name. We love you and thank you for your holy presence. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Ooh, isn't God good this morning? I love God. For those who don't know what that is, that's called word of knowledge and prophecy with the gifts of healing or working of miracles. These are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's what makes us different from a natural church and a supernatural church. When God is supernaturally not moving, then you've got to wonder, is it a church? Just because it has the name church over top doesn't mean it is. What makes a difference is that God is moving in the midst. Amen? That's what changes us. So this morning, another thing that changes people, the Bible says very clearly, they shall know us by our love. Amen. So this morning, we're going to do meet and greet. I want to remind you, not everybody is comfortable, so please be respectful. If somebody doesn't want you to breach their space, don't think negatively of them. That's where they are, and that's all good. Love them from afar. But please go find at least five people you do not know. Let me say that one more time. Five people you do not know, you've never met before, shake their hand and say, good morning. You look just marvelous.
Livestream family, how are you? My name is Portia and this is Emily. We just wanted to welcome you this morning. If you could just comment down below where you're watching from, we would love to talk with you. You can drop any prayer requests that you might have. And it's just been an amazing morning so far. We hope you guys.
Yeah. Worship was amazing. I just wanted to say that because it was.
Worship was really, really good. So we hope you guys were watching that. So. Can't see anything. I'm gonna open it back up. Oh, there we are. Okay. Could you click on it? Good morning, Pastor Rondo, watching from Georgia. Good
Come
morning,
now,
Terry. How are
stop.
You?
Don't say hi to somebody.
Amy from North Carolina. How are you?
It's so good that you guys are watching this morning.
Remember have any prayer requests, you can put them now and we'll pray for you as well. We're just happy that you're here.
Yes. Scroll up and see if there's any from before. Watching from Florida. Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Amber.
Another person from Florida.
Ooh, Helen. Good morning.
I wish I was in Florida too.
Yes, me too. We wish we were with you. Good morning, Faith. Good morning, Mrs. Carla. Okay. Good morning, Jody. How are you? We have some people watching from Horsehead. Remember that you can come in at 9 or 11 a.m. Come and join us in the house.
Would you like to pray for Jody? Yes, absolutely. So, Jody, I'm just going to go ahead and pray for you. And then if you just want to go ahead and, I don't know, just stand in faith with me. So, Lord, I thank you that you sent your son to die for us, not only for our sins, but thank you that you died for our healing as well. I thank you that you... when you were whipped and lashed, Father, for our sins, Father, you also took healing, Father, that you took that beating for us, Father, so that we could be healed and whole, Father. So right now, I just rebuke any sickness, Father. I rebuke any pain. I rebuke any symptoms that she's having. And I thank you, Father, that you are willing to heal her, Father. So, Father, fill her with your healing anointing, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, that you are willing. Father, I thank you that it's in your will to heal, Father. So, Father, make her whole right now in the name of Jesus, Father. I thank you that you died, Father, so that we could be free from any sickness and any disease. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're going on to service, so enjoy the word.
Wow, what a great day. Must be a vacation day for the body of Christ. We're glad you're here. Praise God. Pastor Rhonda should be preaching right about now down in Jessup, Georgia. Let's shoot a prayer for her. Ready? Father, bless Pastor Rhonda as she preaches. Use her in the signs and wonders and the gifts of the Spirit. We pray, God, that you'll glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. She's excited. It's going to be the last time she's traveling for about 2 months. So she's going to be glad to not be running all over the place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is offering. Are you excited about giving today? We have some great news. We have two sets of great news of God's blessing on the house. How many of you know that our roof is leaking? All the children's workers know our roof is leaking. And so we have a brother in the house that has the ability to do some kind of treatment. To replace our roof is about $250,000. And I don't want to put that into it because we're going to renovate this building instead of building a new one. So what we're going to do in the sanctuary, we're going to have the altar on the side wall. We're going to take the roof off and we're going to go up another story. We're going to have a balcony around the top. Around the floor area is going to be like bleachers and then chairs in the middle. We're going to bring the capacity in here to about 1,100 to 1,200 people. That's going to save us about $4 to $6 million. How many will say amen? I like saving money. I believe I'd rather put money in people than put money in a building. Amen? And so we need the roof taken care of for winter. So I praise the Lord. We have worked a deal with the banks, and we're going to be starting that in mid-October, as well as we need a plow truck. And wow, we missed the boat in the early spring before all the prices went through the roof. But I thank God for a person that is attached to the body of Christ that gave us a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal deal. We're buying a Chevy 2500 for almost $10,000 under what it should be going for. It only has 27,000 miles on it, and it already comes with a plow and has been stored indoors for 10 years. Amen. It's immaculate. And so we'll be getting that truck here in the next few weeks. God is so good. And we can pay cash for it. Amen. God is so faithful. I'm just so blessed. And I want to thank you. My wife and I want to thank you for all that you've been doing financially. You know, I want to remind you that when you tithe, you're not giving to me. You're not giving to a church. You're giving to Jesus. Amen. He's from the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek received tithe. And so Jesus also receives tithe. I remember listening to one of the men of God that was here, and he was sharing, I should know his name off the top of my head, and it just ran away from me, Brother Avanzini. And Brother Avanzini actually showed us, I'm trying to find it real quickly, where in the Bible, in heaven, we'll be paying tithe as well. It's amazing how people buck tithe down here, but in heaven, you're still going to be paying tithe. It's found in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelations. Maybe it's in my other Bible. I have it circled. Do you all use circle things in your Bible? Me too. I hate to miss it. Nope, it's in my other Bible. Apologize. But I'll show you. I'll send it to you this week. How even in heaven, we're going to be paying tithe. And so I want to encourage you, start obeying God now. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now we have a testimony. How many of you would like to hear a testimony? Praise the Lord. Tammy Sumi, come.
Good morning. I just want to share a little about what the Lord's done for me financially. I have many of you on Facebook, and so a lot of you know that my husband and I purchased a condominium in Topsail Beach, North Carolina, this past summer. The Lord specifically talked to me before we purchased it that it would be my 401k plan. It would be our retirement. So I knew I was well within his will to purchase it. We got a great deal, did a ton of renovations. We had it rented for most of August and part of September. And then by the time I came back from renovations, things were really starting to move and shake in our world a little bit more regarding mandates. I'm a school nurse, so I wasn't sure where that was going to take me as far as mandates with vaccines and such. So I didn't know how that might affect me. And I started to panic a little bit because I'm thinking, we've got this huge payment now. I don't know if my job is going to be secure, and it's not rented for the winter. And it's not like it's a condominium in Florida where you can get, you know, good rates all year round. It's pretty much a guarantee. So I stood on the word of God. I tithe, I seed, and I am a good steward with my money. And I went, Lord, this is not my problem. Fix it, take care of it, it's yours. Within a week, well, let me back up a little bit. We had a couple of people that had inquired about long-term rentals, and we'd quoted them prices, and I think we were just too high. We were having to pay a property management company 20%, so we were trying to cover costs. Well, we ended up firing the property management company because they were doing a horrendous job, so that allowed us an extra 20% to come down off our cost to our tenants. So we had a woman who's a physical therapist down there message us looking for a long-term rental. She asked to rent it from September 19th till April 1st. So we currently were only rented till September 18th. So she literally rented it from September 19th to April 1st. What a relief. But let me just tell you, this just seals the deal. She asked my husband, can I pay you all of it up front? So she sent a massive check to us that we've already received, and it's taken care of. I still don't know where everything else is in the world, but I know that I know that I know when you are obedient, when you tithe, when you seed, when you are a good steward. I feel like so many people miss the good steward part. Live within your means. Invest. Use your money wisely. It's literally not your problem. So if you're facing something with your job or your finances and you're not doing all three of those, back it up and then stand on the word because he is faithful.
Amen. We have so many more testimonies. People asking every week, can we give a testimony? Can we give a testimony? And I just love testimonies because it's one thing for the pastor to stand up here, show you the word. It's another thing to see it unfold in someone's life. So I want to encourage you, be a tither. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a tither. Shout, I'm a cedar. I didn't say cedar, I said cedar. Come on now, stay with the program. Shout it out loud, I'm a tither. And I'm a cedar. Amen. And you do that, you'll always know that God's blessing. And as she said, you want to make sure that you're a good steward of your money. Amen. Really, of his finances. So I want to encourage you, be a tither, be a cedar. So this morning, let's all stand to our feet. If you're at your home, you can do the same thing. Stand right up on your feet. We want to give God the declaration of his word. I believe the Bible is true. I believe the Bible is true. Amen. I believe that God cannot lie. And God's word is simple. Ready? If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come and bless the Lord with your tithe and offering this morning. If you're watching online, this is your opportunity, your moment. You can see right on the screen there are different ways to give. Make sure that you be a tither and a cedar right where you are at this very moment, and God will bless you.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me. Give me Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, gentlemen, pay attention, gentlemen. There's a men's fun conference this coming weekend over at Chambers Camp and Retreat Center. I want to encourage you to make sure that you participate. I'm preaching on Friday night, and I know we're going to have a time. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have laying on of hands. We're going to see you stirred. Gentlemen, there's going to be a lot of fun. I believe there's a bunch of different things we're going to be doing, games and activities. You need to know other people, amen? Some of you have only partied with the same people, and every time you get around them, you get tempted to drink and to smoke and to toke. And I would encourage you to hang around godly men. I said hang around godly men. Amen. This is being led by Pastor Banfield, and we just want to make sure that you do that. Everybody also needs to grab one of these. It's I Think You'd Love My Church. Nice little easy thing to hand to your friend and invite them to the house of God. I'm believing the Lord by Christmas to have 1,000 souls every single Sunday morning. Amen. Today is Biker Sunday, and I know mainly we're celebrating that second service, but I'm not going to preach two different sermons. What's that? Unbutton it. Who yelled at me? My wife? All the way from Georgia, she's yelling at me to unbutton my vest. Wow. Now, I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to preach now at this very moment. She wanted to, thank you, dear. Love you, too. Amen. Today, I want to talk about something that is a little touchy. Turn to someone and say, it's going to be a little touchy. I want to talk about prejudice. I want to talk about smallness. Not smallness in stature, but smallness in thinking. You know what's amazing is many of us live in a small world. We surround ourselves with people that we like. We surround ourselves with people that we are alike. We surround ourselves with people that are not diverse. And what's amazing to me is simply this. Smallness is literally that. When we create a culture around us that are just people that are like us. Because what that does is it keeps us from being people that are broader and with a greater understanding of who God is. I want you to know that God was not white. I should say Jesus was not white. Jesus was Jewish. Amen. Jesus was Jewish. He was not a white guy. He was a guy that was olive-skinned. You know, we live in America, and many times in America, we're watching right now a very sinful thing happening in the body of Christ between the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. If you're vaxxed, that's bad. If you're unvaxxed, that's bad. I want you to know that's your own personal opinion. God has not called us to take sides in the body of Christ. God has called us to love one another. Oh, come on now. I know I should get a louder amen than that. Well, I'm Republican. Well, I'm Democrat. Well, I'm independent. I don't see any of those things in heaven. See, what's happened is we're watching in the body of Christ, even the enemy come in to try to bring prejudices within the body of Christ to separate the body of Christ so that we stop moving as one. I want to remind you, every single time there was an awesome move of God, they were always with one heart, with one accord. It didn't mean they agreed with everybody. It didn't even mean they liked everybody. But what's happened is when the body of Christ gets so small-minded that we literally eliminate people from our circle of love because they don't agree with what we agree with, that is called prejudice. And that is ungodly. I said that is ungodly. I said that is evil. Come on, I said prejudice is evil. Prejudice should never be in your heart. But we all deal with it. Every single one of us in this room. We can all try to be, you know, self-righteous, but every single person deals with some level of prejudice. Every person is dealing with some level in our lives, and it might be one that we all talk about or one we don't talk about. But the fact that comes down to is that God's desire is that not one of us have prejudice in our heart. Prejudice means that God cannot love everybody. When you are prejudiced, you're saying God can't love everybody. That God can only love the groups that you like. And we've got to address this. Why are we doing it on Biker Sunday? Because bikers are unique. In fact, whether you like it or not, there's actually a web page for motorcyclists to go to that is called Biker Friendly. And biker friendly churches line up and sign up. Why? Because there are bikers that have gone to churches that when they walk in the door, people step aside from them because they have a prejudiced mindset of what they must be like. We've got to know that Jesus loves every one of us the same, and he'll never love you any more than he loves you right now. Jesus dealt with prejudice. John chapter 1, 43 through 46 says this. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, were from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Here's Philip's response. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Jesus dealt with prejudice right there from his own people. How could the Messiah come from Nazareth? Because you know the people of Nazareth, you know, they're low-class people. They might be strange, unique, I'm not sure how they perceived, how Nathanael perceived Jesus, but we know there was a prejudice that ran into his heart because the moment he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, he said this declaration, is there any way that the Messiah could come from Nazareth? And it wasn't a positive thing. We also know that prejudice, it can be seen in the book of Genesis, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And the word of God comes against it, and it says this, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ. Prejudice is evil and should never be in the heart of a God's child. I can't hear you say amen. Now listen, I've seen prejudice from all areas. I've seen prejudice against us. How many people have heard somebody call us a cult? They've never walked through the door. It's amazing on how prejudice is generated in our hearts. And sadly enough, people literally base their lives on it. But the problem is, whom you are prejudiced towards, you can never have ministry with. Who you are prejudiced towards, you will never allow in your life. And the problem with that is, that might be the person that God has in your life to take you to the next level, but you've just eliminated them because of a personal prejudice. Say amen or oh my.
Amen.
Well, you know, I don't believe in judging anybody. We all judge. In the first 7 seconds, you've judged somebody 11 ways. They said within the first, before a second hits the mark, when you first meet somebody, you've already looked at them and judged in your head, consciously or unconsciously, whether they're trustworthy or not by looking in their eyes. We all judge. The problem is not the judging. The problem is the prejudice. When judging is done incorrectly, then it postures us in a position that now they are adverse to us and not part of us. Now, this is very real when you get into the house of God, because whether you like it or not, in the church world, there are white churches, there are black churches, there are Latino churches, there are Asian churches, there are island churches. We've got all these churches that are all separated and segregated. Yet in heaven, that's not part of it at all. In this house, we will have the face of heaven, is what my declaration has always been. We will see every nation. We have 20 nations in this church. And they're excited about that. Why? Because we need 20 nations in this church. We need 50 nations in this church. We need the world represented. We need every culture represented. You know what's amazing is when you start talking about prejudice, we automatically think of race and color. Judging people by their skin. And many people do that. On both sides. And this is the part that has to be addressed. Your skin color and my skin color. I'm not talking culture, because you have to identify culture. But skin color, we all came from Noah.
Well, I thought we came from Adam.
Started with an A. But I want to remind you that in the flood, we all came from Noah. We all have the same skin color to start off with. Olive. It's important that you and I immediately address prejudice within our hearts. And if you're prejudiced with somebody about their color and or their race, then you have to ask yourself why you think you're better than them. For you put your britches on the same way. Amen. Come on now. Oh, let's get a little personal. You have to wipe.
Come on.
I pray. Let's get down to bottom text. We are different culturally, but we are people. And if you're born again, you're God's child. And if you're God's child, your diversity is not your weakness. Your diversity is your strength. And prejudice is evil in the house of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We have social prejudices. Where do you live? You live where? Oh. You live in what? Oh. What kind of car do you drive? We have social prejudices, and I want you to realize that when you die, you can't take any of that with you. There's no prejudice and should not be prejudice even within the social world. What's happened is because of the culture diversity of the social economic posture, many people repel other people because they don't dress like them. They don't smell like them. They don't drive like them. They don't live in a house like them. So therefore, you're lower class. I want you to recognize that if you're born again, we're the same class. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And our diversity is not weakness. Our diversity is our strength. And if you are blessed, like my wife and I are blessed. Somebody came to me and said, what kind of motorcycle do you ride? I said, I ride a Road Glide CVO, the best that Harley Davidson makes. Oh, must be nice. It is. It is nice. It's the best ride I've ever had. I love kicking back on that thing. And then somebody said, what are you going to put on it? There's nothing left to put on it. Everything's on it. It's the best they make. Well, it must be nice to have it. Well, then you go write books. You can earn your own. God's given you creative ideas. God's put within you greatness. You are one thought away from being a millionaire. It's a matter of you and I recognizing it's not that one person is better than the other. They might have differently, but I want you to know that my wife and I are some of the great givers in the house. Why? Because what you have, you give. Can I hear an amen? And God wants to bless you. You see, when you're blessed financially, when you're blessed in your economics, when you're blessed socially, you don't keep people down, you pick them up. That keeps you from being prejudiced. You can't look down at somebody when you're looking in their eyes. Oh, it got quiet in here all of a sudden. Bam. You know, Jesus dealt with this too. You ready? He goes to town. He goes to his hometown. And he's getting ready to do mighty miracles and signs and wonders. Getting ready to preach the gospel. And this is what they say. Ready? Matthew 13:55. And they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. We know Mary, mother, his mom and his brothers, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas. He's just a carpenter. No, he wasn't. You see, because how people see you is not maybe who you are. And this is the challenge of being prejudiced. Because if you literally categorize somebody before you know who they are in their heart, then you've eliminated them from opportunity of being great in your life and being great in their own life. There are people that are economically, gender. Now listen, I'm not talking sin gender. There are 101 genders. No, they're not, there are two. Let's talk science. There's a man, penis, woman, vagina. Amen. Two genders. Amen. I can't believe he said that at church. Well, it's science. They're teaching our kids worse than that in first grade. They're not two mommies and two daddies. Oh, but I thought you said that we're not supposed to be judging these people or prejudice. It's not prejudice. But listen now, this is where the church misses it. Just because you have to take a stand against sin does not mean you hate somebody. We can never compromise sin, but you still love them. You can still love them into the kingdom, even though you don't agree with their lifestyle. Because you're not their judge in the final. Say amen. But you can love them into judgment by sharing Jesus with them, walking Jesus with them, and not hating Jesus with them. Say amen or oh my. But I remember gender prejudice. I remember the very first time my wife preached at His Tabernacle Family Church when we were at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads in 1998. My wife stood up to preach, and literally four people stood up and walked out. Actually, not too many years ago, my wife was preaching in a church locally, went up to stand up to preach, and an entire family stood up and walked out because women should never be preachers. I want you to know that if it wasn't some great women of God in the Bible, you wouldn't be here. There's neither male nor female. Well, I'm better, I'm a man. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a real man and you're really married, you know that you'd be a mess without the real woman. Amen. Thank God for the ladies. Can I hear an amen? But I want you to see the onslaught that's coming against the men in prejudice. If you watch any level of television, you'll see men looked down at as wimpish, as cowardice, as being bullied, as being people that are whooped. And I want you to know that men, that God has raised you up to be great and powerful, to be the leader of your home, to be the leader in the house of God, that God has raised you up to do great and mighty things. Stop being a wimp. I almost said something bad. Stop being a wimp and stand up and be a man. Say amen. Then there's a bunch of subcultures. My wife is funny. She just sent it over family text. You're welcome.
We love you.
She called me fat.
It's
yes. Then we have a bunch of subcultures.
But I bet you don't know about the donut.
Don't talk about the donut. We won't talk about donuts. Then there are a bunch of subcultures. You know, I love bikers. In fact, many bikers and the bikers in our church, you know, they're strong people. And you know what's amazing is, you know, Chris has got his do-rag on and he's got his ponytail in and Sean has his ponytail. He's out there somewhere. He's setting up Biker Sunday. He's got a ponytail in, he's got his hat on, and tattoos up and down their arms. And it's funny because when bikers walk into a room, many people go, no, really, these churches that are not biker churches actually ask bikers to leave because they don't fit. How can you not fit in the house of God? How can you not fit in the house of God? I don't care what you look like. Listen now, I'm not into golf, but if a golf person came to church, I'd give him a hug. Some of you don't even know what golf is. I'm sorry. There are so many subcultures in our community, and it's amazing and how we literally judge them. Now, listen now, being prejudiced is either taught or it's caught. Some people are prejudiced because literally, their parents taught them to be prejudiced. Now, I want to tell you, in my church that I grew up in, I remember the prejudice. I remember when we were near Fort Devens, Massachusetts. It was an army depot, an army base. And I remember, being the church that we were, a man and his wife walked into church. I vividly remember this so clearly because it seared in my brain to not be like. And literally, they walked in and they sat in the back row. He was very dark. So there are people that are different shades, even of black. And he was a very dark African American. And his wife was extremely pale, red hair, like white, like past his legs, opaque. She was that pasty white woman next to a very dark African-American man. They sat in the back of the church, and nobody said anything to them. Not one person shook their hand. Not one person said anything. And afterwards, I inquired, being a child, and I was told, remember, stay in your own race. Last I knew, when Moses married an Ethiopian woman, I've never seen a white Ethiopian. I've never seen an olive Ethiopian. They are just black Ethiopians. It's amazing on the prejudices that are instilled within the body of Christ. And they've got to be rooted out, because this last day harvest is going to take in every type of individual that there are. Every subculture is going to walk through that door wondering if they're going to be loved in the house of God. Every kind of person, even with their background, is going to walk in the door and they're going to wonder, with my criminal background, am I going to be accepted in the house of God? It's time to recognize we've got to stop being prejudiced, that God hates prejudice and that Jesus loves everybody. Everybody is somebody to Jesus. Some people are taught that. They're just taught from a child that prejudice is part of your life. Listen, that's not just white. That's also African American. That's also Asian. That's all. We could go through all the nationalities. They're taught to hate another culture. I remember I was with Pastor Mary Edlin in Rochester many years ago, and she taught me something. She said that in our church, we have folks from the islands and we have African Americans. And the African Americans and the island people don't like each other and they can't marry. And I said, huh? And she said, I'm telling you, you've got to recognize that this is all across the board. We had a young lady living in our house who was African American. She stayed with us a year. She was light skinned and she had an attitude against dark skinned people. And I said, what? I said, that's prejudice. Thank you. And I said, that's wrong. She said, but that's what I was taught. I don't care what you're taught. I care what the word says. And that, listen, peel your skin off, you're going to bleed the same way. When you die, God ain't going to say, okay, this person first, this person second, this because of your skin color or your culture. You're standing before God because of your heart. Amen. Say amen or am I? Amen. Well, I don't know. I just don't like those people. How do you know you don't like them? You haven't given them opportunity. Well, yes, I did. This is the caught part. I had a bad experience. They're all bad. Really? Really? They're all bad? Listen now, there are bad white folk. And there are bad African-American folk. There are bad Asian folk. There are bad every kind of folk. But let me tell you, they're not all bad. Everybody in every culture isn't all bad. But the problem is we categorize people. We catch it sometimes. I met this man who was in the army, and he had a bad experience with a person of the opposite color. And because of that, he then hated that color the rest of his life. It is. It's absolutely asinine. And what it does is it disenfranchises you from somebody that could actually have a nugget for you. And what's amazing is, why do you actually think you're better than they are? Why do you think that you're going to look any different before God? Because God isn't looking at anything else but your heart. Yes. You got to make a decision in your heart. Prejudice is never going to be allowed in my life. Yes. And it's not all. And if you don't figure that out, man, you might not make it to heaven. Yep. What do you mean? What do you mean? You mean you're telling me that if I'm prejudiced, I can't go to heaven? Yeah, I am. I'm telling you that. Because you can't hate people and go to heaven. Say it out loud, I can't hate people and go to heaven. Now, I didn't say you got to like everybody, but you can't hate a whole people group because somebody gave you a bad experience. I've had bad experiences from white people. Far more from white people. Far, far more than white people. If I was going to be a catcher, I hate all white folk. But you are a white folk. You don't know that. You don't know that I'm white. You consider me white because of the pigment on my skin? There's so many different colors out there. You can't put people in those baskets. Say amen or oh my. We've got to make a decision that prejudice is evil. Because God already has. Amen. It is wrong and sin to be prejudiced. I'm almost done. Not really, but I have a lot of time. How about David? King of Israel. Greatest king, the Bible says, the greatest king of all of Israel. In fact, such a promised king that the Bible says, from his loins will come the Messiah. It's time to bring in the new king. So the prophet, 1 Samuel chapter 16, you'll read it yourself. The prophet comes into the house where God leads him and says, I'm getting ready to anoint the next king. Bring your oldest to me. And the oldest stands before God, before the prophet, and God says, that ain't the one. What do you mean that ain't the one? That's what's supposed to happen. He's the guy in line. That's not the one. He goes through all the sons and not the one. And he looks and he says, you got any more? Well, I got one, but he's out taking care of the sheep. You know, he's just a kid. He really doesn't mean much. He's not kingly material. He's just a shepherd. I said, I don't care who you are. This I do know. You might be somebody that everyone, listen now, when I went to Bible school, bets were paid that I would be kicked out. When someone found out I was going to the ministry, they laughed. But in all the ministry people in our Bible college that made it, it were the hellions just like me that no one ever thought would be anything. But I want you to know, you might see yourself as nothing, but God sees you as everything. And God wants to make your name great, just like he did Abram. And this is where we as the body of Christ have to make a decision. I refuse to judge people just like the prophet did from the top to the bottom, because here comes this little ruddy, redheaded boy. And God says, that's the one. And you know Samuel was confused. Because it wasn't normal. Your norms can keep you from God's best. And all of a sudden, God makes a statement about this kid. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 11 and 12. And he said to Jesse, are all your sons here? Jesse said, there is yet the youngest. He's tending sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send for him, and we will not sit down and eat until he gets here. Jesse sent and brought him, and David had a healthy reddish complexion, beautiful-eyed, fine-looking boy. He didn't look like a king. He probably went to a manicure. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to get one of these days. And a pedicure. There you go. Well, prejudice from the sanctuary. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him. Why? Verse 7. For the Lord sees not what a man sees. For a man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. How about the woman at the well? First of all, Jesus is in the area called Samaria. And he got thirsty. The disciples had gone into town, and a woman comes out. Now, you got to know that in those days, ladies, that's not the way it was. Not like today. Back in those days, women were more of a commodity, were more ownership than they were of free-spirited like we have in America today. Say amen or oh my. So Jesus is talking to a woman. That's the first level of prejudice we see here. Jesus should not have talked to a woman. How do we know that? Because remember when the disciples came back in John chapter 4? They said, what are you doing? He was talking to a woman. But he wasn't just talking to a woman. He was talking to a Samaritan woman. The Jews considered Samaritans dogs less than human. So not only did he break the prejudice of man and woman, but he broke the prejudice of localization and where you live, social economics. Then Jesus looked at her and said, listen now, you know, what about your husband? And she says, well, you know, I have no husband. He goes, you're right, because you've been married five times, and the man you're sleeping with ain't your husband either. Jesus could have just chucked her out. But instead, he loved her to reveal himself. She changed her life, and she became the very first evangelist. The city of Samaria was changed because of this woman. You see, when you look down on people because of their life, where they've come from, listen now, Jesus don't care where you come from. He cares where you're going. Because how many of you came from a spot that you wish you hadn't come from? How many of you know you messed your life up far more than anybody could count? How many of you know that if people actually knew your life, that they might be prejudiced against you? But thank God for Jesus, amen? Who washes our sins away and throws it as far as the east and the west and remembers it no more. You see, Jesus looks at your heart. Whomever you are prejudiced against, you have eliminated them from your life, and they are that person that could have taken you to your next level. You've got to make a decision in your heart. Prejudice does not belong in my life. Say amen or oh my.
Amen.
Aren't you glad Jesus looked at your heart? Not at your skin color? Not how much money you had in the bank? Not where family you came from? Not what culture you were raised in? But he looked at your heart and he said, I love you. Even in your mess. Anybody can identify with me. How many of you had yourself a mess? Thank God for Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Prejudice is evil. Because God loves everybody the same. They shall know us by our love, not by our prejudice. Like I said today, even in this house, there's vaxxed and unvaxxed. There's Republicans and there are Democrats. I'm an independent. Because I don't vote, of course, a party line. I vote according to the word of God as close as I can get. My point is this. Where are you prejudiced? Everybody's prejudiced. Anybody who says they're not prejudiced is prejudiced. Everybody's prejudiced. You have a prejudice against somebody. Do you know I have people that say to me, I can't pray to God, but I can pray to Jesus because I had a bad dad. So now you look at all dads as bad. That word all is bad. When you put everybody in the same loaf, that is bad because we're all different. My question to you is, where do you need to repent from your prejudices? Where is your prejudice line? Where is it when you see somebody and yet you don't know their heart, you make a judgment to them immediately? That is not positive, it's negative. When you decide to address that in your life, you're going to go further and faster. Why? Because God's going to always bring you somebody. This is the way it works now. God will always bring you people in your life that you need, that you don't always like, to see your level of love. Because if you don't love, how can he increase you? For anything done outside of love is just a clanging cymbal. So my question is, where do you hiccup in your love with people? I deal with all kinds of people. You know, people have made many, many accusations against me. But there's one accusation they can never make against me. I genuinely love and believe in people. I will chase people even though I know they're going to hell in a handbasket and they've rejected me, refused me, talked bad about me. I still love them. I might not like them, but I still love them. And I pray for them. Because I want everybody to know, I want everyone to experience Jesus and go to heaven. My question is where are you prejudiced? Where does God need to address your life? What is it that happened, whether you were caught or taught it,
that you need to transition out of it to be more like Jesus. Ooh. Quiet. Because honestly, if we don't address it, then when they come, they'll feel the atmosphere of non-acceptance and unlove. And then what are we saying? Oh, we're better than they are because we're already born again. The us and the them. We need them to go to heaven with us, which means we got to love them through their mess. We got to accept them and believe in them. No matter what your prejudice is, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. Maybe you don't like rednecks. Maybe you don't like people who wear boots. Maybe you don't like people who don't dress up. I don't know what your issue is, but you got to address it. Because to be more like Christ means you genuinely have to look at hearts, not at appearance. Father, we thank you that you love us because of our hearts. Lord, you did make us with appearance. You did put us in culture. You did give us diversity, and thank you for that. Diversity brings strength. But God, we ask that you will address us individually and corporately. That if there are any prejudices against people that would repel them from your love, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us. We ask in the name of Jesus that you'll wash us clean. We ask in the name of Jesus that you will show us that we are not better than anybody else, no matter what posture or position we're in. Jesus, we need you, and so does this world. Let the testimony of your word in your house be so loud that it cannot be avoided. They will know us by our love. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never accepted him in your life. Today you want God to change you from the inside out. Today you want to know that God loves you, because he does, desperately. He gave his son for you. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to be part of the family of God and have the true love and acceptance that only God can give you. If you would like that this morning, whether you're online or in the room, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that needs Jesus to wash their sins away? Thank you, ma'am, in the back. And put your hand right back down. Is there anybody else? Thank you very much. Is there anybody else this morning? I'm going to count down. 5. Thank you, sir. 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and 1. Now I'm going to ask something else. Some of you deal with deep prejudice. But deep or shallow, it's still sin. And today I want you to ask God to forgive you. So I want to pray together. Is that all right? Can we pray together? Now, those who are prejudiced and don't want to pray, I'll lead a salvation prayer right after, and that's the one you need. Because you can't go to heaven and have prejudice in your heart. What side of heaven? I had a husband and wife get divorced one time. And they said, well, I can't go to church there. My ex goes there. And I said, so what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Go to the opposite side? If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. It means you're not going. Don't lie to yourself. Don't tell yourself you're going to heaven if you're not. That's called lie. And you can deceive yourself right into it. If you have prejudice and you have hate in your heart, you can't go to heaven. And I want us to get ready for the influx of folk. Because there's some folks that are going to walk in this door that you're going to go, whoa, hello.
Some of the people you're going to know. You know where they came from. You know how they've lived. And you're going to have to look past that prejudice that you have of their life and allow God for you to see their heart. Because they would never have walked in the door if they weren't drawn by the Spirit of God. Let's pray out loud together. Jesus, we thank you that you love us all the same. Today, right now, I ask that you will forgive me of any prejudice in my heart. I want to see people the way you see them, Jesus. I want to see their hearts, not the skin, not their money, not their shoes, not their car, not even their kids. I want to see them like you. Jesus, forgive me for prejudice. Wash my sins away and give me a love for people like you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Was that all right? You know, this is always a touchy sermon. I really tried to do it well because I'm not here to make you angry with me. I'm here to help you. And you can't go to heaven if you're prejudiced. Oh, by the way, I felt this drop in my spirit during the prayer. I've watched a lot of poor people prejudice against people with wealth. That's still prejudice. Say amen.
Amen.
All prejudice is bad. Let's all stand to our feet. I believe the bikers are going to start coming in. It's going to be a great second service. I'm going to have to preach shorter. If you raise your hand for salvation, Mindy's right here wearing a, what are you wearing? Wearing a Harley Davidson shirt. Come on now. If you need Jesus in your life, you raise your hand for accepting Christ as your Savior. I want you to, when we dismiss, come right on over to Mindy. Now listen, if you're new to the house, we have a guest reception area for you. Right on the other side of this wall, you'll be able to follow signs. We have some food for you. If that's a connection room. Maybe you've been here 10 years. You still don't know anybody. Make your way on over there. We want you to meet people, get to be blessed by people, and grow with people. Enjoy your life. We love Jesus, and God's got greatness for you. Say amen.
Amen.
Have an awesome week in God. Told me to unbutton my shirt.
That's the one who broke these and took away my shirt.